This month's sponsor of the shiur is Trudy and Marvin Rosen, in memory of Ben Tzion Ben Yosef Mendel Rosenthal. So this shiur has a little bit of a history to it. So a couple of years ago I gave the shiur here, and for whatever reason this was this shiur that somehow didn't have any tape recording, and we couldn't track down where the shiur went to. So I've been promising Dr. Belazon and Rabbi Stenter for the last couple of years that old Chazon Lemoed, eventually we'll find the time to repeat the Shia, but I kept on pushing them off. So the topic of the Shia is the issue of Sfeika D'Yoma as it relates to Hanukkah. So I figured last week, that this is a Wednesday night, and it happens to be, if there would be Sfeika D'Yoma, it would be tonight. So we'll have to try to figure out why, in fact, we don't light Neiros Hanukkah tonight. That's the real Shaila. Why is it that there's no Din of Sfeika D'Yoma on Hanukkah as there is by the Yom Tovim? So Lechora, the answer to this question should be pretty straightforward, namely that the whole idea of Sfeika D'Yoma presumably is related to the din of Sfeika D'Oraisa L'Chumra. So when it comes to mitzvahs D'Oraisa, it makes a lot of sense that there should be a principle of Sfeika D'Yoma. When you're dealing with mitzvahs D'Rabbanan such as Neiros Chanukah, so perhaps we should invoke the principle of Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. So maybe the whole institution of Sfeika D'Yoma really doesn't make any sense when we're dealing with mitzvahs D'Rabbanan. So even though at first glance that's what we would say, there may be reason to suspect otherwise. There may be reason to perhaps alter the regular application of the call of Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. Maybe there really is a reason why Sfeika D'Yoma would be perhaps appropriate even as it relates to Hanukkah. So why should anybody believe that the regular rules of Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula don't apply when it comes to Sfeika D'Yoma of Hanukkah? So this may be based on a Gemara Maseches Pesachim, a Gemara that we've spoken about in the past on the top of the Gemara Mekomos. So the Gemara is in Pesachim and Afkuf Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Itmar Matzah tzarech haseba, when one eats matzah to seder, so one is required to do haseba, one is required to lean. Mara ain't tzarech haseba, whereas when one eats maror, one is not required to lean. The reason obvious being that matzah is an aspect of the kim of cheiros, so we want to celebrate the cheiros by showing that we're b'nei chorin. There is maror, which is zeichet to the avda, so it would be, in a sense, inappropriate to lean for that. So Yayin, what about for the Dalek Koso? So Itma Mishmeh Rav Nachman, it was said in the name of Rav Nachman, Tzarech HaSeiba, that there was one tradition in the name of Rav Nachman that one is required to lean for Yayin. Itma Mishmeh Rav Nachman, Ein Tzarech HaSeiba. There was another tradition that one is not required to lean. So says the Gemara below Plugi, this was not really a Machlekes, Habetarte Kosi Kamoi, Habetarte Kosi Basrai, that the Machlekes was it Machlekes, the two different traditions, we're talking about two different sets of Kosos, that the tradition that said that you have to do Aseba is talking about one set of kosos. The tradition says you don't have to do is talking about another set of kosos. The only problem is, Amidah Lahagis and Be'amidah Lahagis, so there was a machlokes within what the tradition was. That means everybody agrees that two kosos need Aseba, but everyone agrees two kosos don't need Aseba. We're not sure which is which. So Amidah Lahagis, some said Trey Kasi Kamayi Ba'al Aseba, Tahashtu Dukamasna Lacheris. There are some who say that there should dafka, the first two kosos you should lean for, because that's the beginning of the Cheris. That's the real celebration of Cheris. At the end of Agada, and if you're ben chor, you're drunk, whatever, by the time you get to benching, so you're ready here for sleep, so those cases are not so important, you don't need a seba. But trey kasi basrei lo ba save my davahav, it's already over, the cheris is over. V'yamla lahagis, and others will say the exact opposite. So adraba trey kasi basrei ba save, that you have to do a seba, you have to lean dafka for the last two cases. High shaita the gahav yecheris, because it's the last two kosos, is when that's the grand finale, that's the machab apatish of the seder. Trey tokasi kamar lobo, save the kat yavadam yinukama, because the first two kosos haven't really got out of Mitzrayim, you're still holding him Mitzrayim. It's not yechatos, machab becharis didn't happen yet, so you're still in avdos. So the Gemara is tuppling back and forth and back and forth, svaras lakan, lakan, which kosos you need a seber. The only thing that everyone agrees to is that you don't need for all four. There's no question about it that you don't need a seber for all four. The only question is we're not sure which ones do and which ones don't. So comes the Gemara now with perhaps the strangest line of the entire sugya. Hasha de itmahach of itmahachi, since we have two traditions and we can't really be mechriya, which is correct. Idi bo seba. So the part of Pesach of the Gemara is all four kosos need a seba. And that's of course how we pass, and that's our practice, that the halacha requires a seba for all four of the dalek kosos. So comes the Ran in Maseches Pesachim, in the second half of the bottom part of the page, not the way to the bottom, the one before. The random Sachem Chav Gimla Mid Aleph. So the hash that the Itmar Hachi Kulu Boy Aseba. So the Gemara's conclusion is that since we're not sure which kosas you have to do Aseba for, therefore you have to do for both. So he asks the Ran, the Afagav, the Ba'alma Kaimla Nibcha. Usually the rule is opposite. The Chol Sveik Rabbanon Kula. Dalek Kosas is only a Din Der Rabbanon. That's clear. So if Dalek Kosas is only Der Rabbanon, why don't we just say Sveik Rabbanon Kula? So says the Rano, it's inappropriate to invoke the principle of Sveka Drabban Lakula. So Hacha came in the Lav Milsa, the Tirchi Avdin Laravcha de Milsa, came Pershuzal. There are some Rishonim who explain that Sveka Drabban Lakula means when you're stuck, when it's a problem, when it's a Tircha. But here, I'm an Afkamina, you have to drink the Kos anyway. An Afkamina, whether you drink the Kos sitting like this, or an Afkamina, whether you drink the Kos like that. Afkamina is how dirty a kittle gets by the end of the night. But an Afkamina, it's such a big deal. It's always such an easy mitzvah to perform. So therefore, we shouldn't rely on the Kula of Sveka Drabban Lakula. That's the first Teretz of the Ran. But now the Ran has a second Teretz, which becomes critical for our Shaila. For Lee Nira, says the Ran, it would appear to me a different answer. You have to do a seba at all four. The e nasal lakula, because if you're going to say lakula, am I nakel bahani tfei mehani? Means, let's for argument's sake, let's imagine we're going to invoke the principle of sveka derban lakula here. So what would that mean, practically speaking? It means you're going to arbitrarily pick two kosas and say, well, the first two we're going to do a seba and the last two not. And the other guy's going to pick the last two and not the first two, because the Gemara was just machriya, that we can't be machriya. The Gemara says that we don't know what the answer is. We really don't know which of the kosas that require a seba. So at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense logically to pick on two rather than the other two. So what would the next logical conclusion be? Nekel b'travayu. We make on everything. It means when it comes to the first two kosas, so we'll say, no, it's the last two kosas that need a seba. Comes to the next, last two kosas, so we'll say, no, it was the first two. Oh, we missed the first two. No, nishkefelech. So that's a joke that you can't do. That's like the old story about the guy in Tainus Esther. He's eating in Tainus Esther. So the Rav comes to him and says, what are you eating in Tainus Esther for? So he says, I thought about it, and Haman was really right. This whole Purim, the whole thing is wrong. We really shouldn't have this whole thing. So I'm eating today. So then the next day, the guy's eating and drinking on Purim. So the Rav turns him and says, my high. He says, you told me Haman was right. He says, I rethought about it, and I realized that Mordechai is not right. So that's what the guy who decides that the first two crises is no, and then the last two crises is no. So that's the tithe of the sasri. That's clearly not acceptable. So therefore, ha-me'akar mitzvah seva gam, you're going to undo the whole mitzvah seva, but that's not shayach. So therefore, the lace brer, you have to seva in all four. So what principle? The Ran is telling us the yisod. The Ran is not just telling us some technical detail in terms of Pesach night. He's telling us the yisod in this halachic principle of sveka derabanan lakula, that whenever you have a sveka derabanan lakula that presents itself as a tithe of the sasri, if you're going to be nakel on both sides of the fence, that will be inappropriate. So the melee, you don't have the right logically to choose one over the other. You have to be machmer on all four. So how does this play out now in terms of Chanukah? So Chanukah is a suffix derabanan. So we should invoke the principle of sveka derabanan lakula. But what exactly does that mean to invoke the principle of sveka derabanan lakula? That means last Tuesday night, when it was on our calendar, Chafei Kislev, so we would have said to ourselves, we're not really sure that it's Chafei Kislev. Maybe we got it wrong. Maybe Rosh Chodesh was a day later. Maybe it's on the Chavdala Kislev. So past Tuesday night, we're not going to light Neiros Chanukah, because maybe it's not the Chanukah. So then Wednesday night, okay, if we know for sure it's Chanukah, whether we do know or don't know what number nine is, that's really a technical detail. How or whatever, try to pull off the stunt of Mahadran, two different menorahs, I don't know how to do that. But let's just keep to the Neri Shubesa. So the first quote-unquote night of Chanukah, the guy's going to say, I'm not lighting Neri's Chanukah tonight because it's Suffolk Derban Lakul, maybe it's not Chanukah. The end of Chanukah comes tonight, Wednesday night, the guy says, I'm not going to light tonight because maybe last Tuesday was the first night and now the 8 days of Chanukah are over. So it's going to turn out that the guy just chopped off he just got himself 7 days of Chanukah. He cheated on the beginning and he cheated at the end. So that's a classic example of what the Ran is saying, that you can't say Sveka Derabanan and the Kula over here. So just to say that, you don't have to be concerned with Sveka Derabanan and Chanukah because it's a Derabanan and it's a Suffolk Lakula and everything. That's not acceptable, because maybe the principle of the Ran, if the Ran's Teretz is correct, the first day in the Ran didn't hold from his Teretz, but the second Teretz of the Ran, that Sveka Derabanan and the Kula does not apply when you have a situation of a potential tithe of the sasrei. So every case of sveka d'yom is a potential tithe of the sasrei. So l'chora, we started out by saying that, what do you mean sveka d'yom by Chanukah? What's the shayla? How can there even be the havamin if the light of Neiros Chanukah tonight? It's only a derabanan and sveka d'rabanan l'kula, and who cares? Even if we don't know when the day is, what's the difference? It's not so pashut, and it's not so simple. You can really apply the principle of sveka d'rabanan l'kula in this type of a sofik. I mean, there's less reason to really be mesupuk, right? You know, chinami. So the Rambam already makes a similar horror when it comes to Shavuos. The Rambam writes that if you think about it, so Shavuos should never really be a sveika biyoma, because Shavuos is not necessarily on the sixth day of Sivan. Shavuos is the 50th day of the Pesach. So the odds that they haven't figured out a month and a half later when Rosh Chodesh was 50 days ago, it's hardly 60 days ago, it's hardly unlikely. So the Rambam says that once the Chavim instituted sveika biyoma by some of the Yom Tovim, we don't want to make Shavuos any different from anything else, because that's going to lead to a general zilzul in terms of Sveika D'Yoma. So even though you're right that, practically speaking, the odds that we're not sure by day 25 when Rosh Chodesh is, first of all, that may depend. It may, you know, in the olden days, that depended just how far you are. I mean, could be that practically there was no Yishuv that was more than 25-day trip away from Yerushalayim, but for you too, there were Jews who were farther, so then they would have a Sveika D'Yoma even further away. So, and even if the Metzias is that there was no real Sveika D'Yoma, according to the Rambam's understanding by Shavuos, that we don't want to make Chilukim. Once you have a din of Sveika D'Yoma, whenever it's applicable, we're going to apply it by all scenarios. Right, but that goes back to our original question. The original question being whether is there really a svar from the Chalak between their Isis and their Rabbanim. That's good for the question. So in terms of logic, in terms of the application of the rules of Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, we're not really sure whether we're correct and just ignoring the issue based on Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, based on this round of Maseches Pesachim. So let's see, maybe, is there a precedent for this? Is there any other discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim concerning other applications of Sveika D'Yoma as it relates to Dinim D'Rabbanan? So in the Sefer of the Ma'amar Kamos, the Gemara tells us about a famous shaila concerning Sveika D'Yoma, which is the Sveika D'Yoma in terms of the suffix of the seventh day of Sukkot, as it relates to eating in the Sukkah. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav Huna bar Bizna v'chol gadol yador iklu b'sukkah b'shmini suffix shvi, and all these Amoraim lived in Chutz La'aretz, and it was the eighth day, which was a suffix of Hoshana Rabba, Meisav Avu Yasve Baruchi Lo Barichi, that they ate in the Sukkah, but they didn't recite a bracha on the Sukkah. That's in fact what the Maskana Gemara is, that Meisav Yasvidan Baruchi Lo Mevachina. So comes Tosos of that sugya and asks, wait a second, this is true that the Gemara paskins that you have to eat in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres, presumably because of Sveika D'Yoma. So says Tosos in the next of the Ma'amar Kamos, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Nesav Kliyam L'Pligi D'Yasvin, the Lulav, L'Rotza L'Sachin Klal, Sheletu HaLulav Misafik. Says Tosos, how come the Gemara doesn't introduce the possibility of shaking the Lulav on Shemini Atzeres? The same svar, the same way that we sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, so why don't you have to shake a Lulav on Shemini Atzeres? That's Tosos Kasher. So Tosos tries to explain away why not. So Tosos says, well, the Fishu Yomtif, Umukta L'Tiltul. Tosos says, eating in the Sukkah is not per se a negative thing. There's no Chilu Yomtif, there's no design of Yomtif per se involved with eating in the Sukkah. Whereas to take a Lulav, so a lulav in and of itself, we would not take a lulav on Shavuos. We wouldn't put up a lulav on a regular yontif, because a lulav is just eight tzviyav on him, so it's a shtickel problem of mukza. So umintra lemil se shenayvah minichol. So if somebody sees you walking around shaking a lulav on Shemini Atzeres, they're going to say, oh, it's not really yontif today. And that's very bad. So you have to always be careful when you observe Sveika D'Yoma. So you have to be careful that it doesn't impinge on the real yontif. Now by other Sveika D'Yoma, you don't really have this problem. The Achron Shal Pesach, I'm not pinching on anything. It's another day off from work. The Sveika D'Yoma Shavuos, it doesn't bother us to keep the second Yom. But the Sveika D'Yoma of Hoshana Rabba, or we call it the Sveika D'Yoma of Shvi Shel Sukkis, so that's a potential problem of the Sveika D'Yoma. Because since the way Yom Tov of Sukkis is that Sukkis is immediately followed by Shemini Atzeres, the observance of the extra day can potentially lead to a Zilzul of Shemini Atzeres. So that's in fact the reason why the Chacham instituted Dafka not to make the Bracha Leishim B'Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, because they felt that to sit in the Sukkah to make the Bracha at the same time making Kiddush for Shemini Atzeres, that's Mamashah Emecha Zilzul Gadam Zer, that's Mamashah Junk. But when it comes to the nitz of Yeshiva B'Sukkah per se, they weren't concerned with instituting Yeshiva B'Sukkah. So it comes to us and says, but Mestama, for the fact that we don't find anywhere in the Gemara that we shake a lulav on Shemini Atzeres, that's a raya, that the Chachamim were concerned that lest we institute this mitzvah, which is going to be a zilzul for Shemini Atzeres. Aval Sukkah, Taisa says, Pavim Shesukasa Areva Lov, Oichol Bafilu B'Yomtif. So Taisa says that whereas a Sukkah, so sitting in the Sukkah per se is not a zilzul. It means if a person sits in the backyard, if it's a nice day outside, so a person will sit in the backyard. It's not so terrible. This is in fact the source of the Rambam Shemim who say that even though the Gemara says you have to eat in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, but maybe you don't sleep in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Because sleeping in your backyard, that you have to be a real Meshuggah to do. That you only do for a mitzvah. Nobody normally sleeps in the backyard. So that's already a shayla of a zilzul of yadav. So Tosus is defending the practice of eating in the sukkah and shmini atzeres. That per se is not a zilzul, whereas the sleeping in the sukkah is considered to be a zilzul. That's what some achrenim said. So the Chayyim has to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, why was Tosus bothered with this kasha? Why was Tosus trying to be mechalik to give me a chiluk in between sukkah on the one hand, which is not a zilzul, and lulav is yes a zilzul? I have a much better chiluk between the two. I'll tell you a much simpler reason why there's no sveka diyoma on lulav. Lulav is only the rabban chutzpah mikdash. The mitzvah of lulav in atar is only lulav yom rishon. So the whole sveik of the yoma is obviously talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about chutzpah mikdash. So chutzpah mikdash, it's not a deraisa. It's only a mitzvah derabban. It's only from the kanas of Yechem and Zachai, which was instituted as a zeichem of mikdash after the korban. So that's the reason why there's no sveik of the yoma on lulav. So what does Taisus have to find? It could be a chesh, a lumps, a pilpul, that this is a zilzul, if not a zilzul, it's pashut. That there's no issue of sveik of the yoma because it's only derabban. So lechora, one can infer from Taisus that Hayisod is not necessarily correct. That maybe there is a concept of sveik of the yoma even under Rabbanans. Maybe Taisus holds like that Ran and Maseches Pesachim. Maybe it's not so far-fetched to institute a sveik of the yoma under Din Rabbanan. So then Taisus got themselves into trouble, so they have to try to figure out. So Lamaisa, why didn't they institute it when it comes to Lula? So Taisus had to explain the chiluk between yes zilzul and no zilzul. So lechora, this Taisus may be a raya, which is going to cause a problem for us. So if Taisus is correct, that there is a principle of sveik of the yom by the Rabbanan, so hadra kush leduchta, so why is there no sveik of the yom in Chanukah? Why aren't we lighting there as Chanukah today, based on the principle of sveik of the yom? So one could perhaps distinguish between this Tosfos in the case of Chanukah based on the following, that although the particular prop of the mitzvah of lulav is a derabanan, the Yom Tov of Sukkos is deraisa. The Kedushas Hayom of Shri Shal Sukkos is a deraisa. There are ramifications mid the araisa of observing the eighth day as a sveik of the yom of the seventh day, the most obvious ramification being the mitzvah of Sukkah. So one could argue that the nature of the sofek, which Tosfos is suggesting should have been mechayev us in the mitzvah of Tilas Lulav, if not for the technical problems of Zilzol, is basically a suffek deraisa. Like there's a principle like this in Yeridea, when you have a suffek, and the suffek has ramifications for deraisas, as well as for derabanan. So it could be that when the nature of the suffek is nogeah for deraisa also, so then you don't say suffek derabanan lakula. That's considered to be, like it's one big suffek. I mean, since it's the same suffix, as tells us. The same suffix, is it shvi or is it shmini? So in Hilchos Sukkah, we're passing up that suffix, deraisa l'chom, you have to sit in the sukkah, shmini atzeres. So Tosa says, how could you turn around in lulav and not shake a lulav? It's true that, in terms of pure lomdus, one is deraisa and one is derabana. But since it's the same suffix, it's suffix echad, which is creating two different potential nafkaminas lahalacha, so you can't turn around and say, well, we're going to pass in the deraisa, the kashay l'chom, and the derabana, the kashay l'kula. Hashem came by Chanukah, the whole thing is derabanan. Hakol mikol, there's no deraisa of Chanukah. So the whole latest of Sofik is only legabi dinim derabanan, so they're still safe, perhaps. That just because Tosfos had a havamina that we should have instituted Sveik of Yoma for Lulav doesn't necessarily indicate that we have to institute a Sveik of Yoma for Chanukah. So we don't have a raya that there's no Sveik of Yoma for Chanukah. We don't have a raya to understand why there's none, but at least that Tosfos Masechet Pasuk is not necessarily a kasha against us. Is there any other possible precedent, any other similar scenario in Halacha where Sveik of the Yom is discussed as it relates to Dinim Derabanan? So there's a Mordechai in Maseches Megillah. It has some pretty bold letters. Mordechai in Maseches Megillah. So the Mordechai in Simin Tovshin Ayin Hey asks the following kasha. Uma shalonagu likros ha-Megillah yom yedalad v'yom tesvav misofek bizman hazeh kida avdinan v'yomdiv. The Mordechai says, how come we don't all observe 2 days of Purim? He doesn't mean Tesvav al Tzushan Purim. We know we're not in Ir Mukefes Choma. Nobody lived in Yimos Yeshua Ben Nun, so Tinek wasn't Mukefes Choma. So comes the Mordechai and asks, but Afal Pichay, we should still learn the Megillah on the second day, because maybe Tesvav is really a Dalet. Maybe the same way we observe 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuos, so the extra day Sukkah, so we should observe a second day Purim al Tzvek Adiyam. That's the Mordechai's Kasha. So says the Mordechai Yesh Lomar, Mishum de Dilma Yedalad Nikva Bizmano, Vika Bitezvav Mishum Velo Yavor. Mordechai gives a fascinating teretz. That the reason why you can't lay the Megillah on Tesvav is because that would be a violation of an Issa. What kind of an Issa is that? Because it says in the Megillah, Hayom Ha'ela Niskarim V'lo Yavo. The Pasuk says that these days will never be passed over. So the Gemara Maseches Megillah interprets that to mean V'lo Yavo, that, at least the way the Mordechai interprets the Gemara to mean, that you're not supposed to celebrate Purim past when Purim is. The context of that statement of the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah is as follows. The Gemara tries to figure out, where do you see a mokor in the Megillah itself with the first Mishnah Megillah that says that you're allowed to lay in Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, the B'nai Kfarim, the villages who had to lay in early. So what's the source of the Megillah? The Megillah only speaks about Yud Aleph and Tezvav. So how do Chazal know that it's permissible in certain limited circumstances to lay in a couple of days before for the B'nai Kfarim? So the Gemara says, oh, it says in the Pasuk of the Megillah, Bizmaneihem, that there's more than one day, there's more than 2 days, Kayamim, it just gives you a whole possibility of different days to lay. So the Gemara asks, so maybe you're allowed to lay after Purim is over also. Maybe, how do you know that the B'nai Kfarim is supposed to be Makdim to lay on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel? Maybe they're supposed to be Ma'acher to lay on Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches. So the Gemara says, no, V'lo Yavo. It says in the Megillah that you're not supposed to lay the Megillah after Purim is over. It means, Advad B'chlal, but once Purim comes, then V'lo Yavo. So the Mordechai is interpreting this in a very M'chudish Tikkun way. He's saying that for a person who's a Ben Yadalit to turn around and lay the Megillah on Tezvav, that's like an Isser. It's not just that you're not Yotzei a mitzvah. The Gemara seems just to say you're not Yotzei a mitzvah, but the Mordechai says it's also, it's like about Tosef, that to lay the Megillah past the Zman, that's inappropriate. So says the Mordechai, we can't tell people to lay the Megillah on Yudalad and Tezvav, because Imtim Tzeloma, that Tezvav is really Tezvav, it's really not Yudalad. So then it turns out you're doing something wrong. You're doing an Aveira, you're violating the Pasuk of Elo Yavor. It's interesting, this idea of Elo Yavor, that the Gemara doesn't really say that it's an Isser, but the Mordechai extended it to be an Isser. This comes up this year. It's going to come up, maybe later in the year we'll talk about it a little more, B'arichas, but the whole discussion of Purim Meshulash, when you have Purim this year, Yadal falls out on a Friday, and Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, so if you live in Yerushalayim, so the Megillah, clearly you can't lay it on Shabbos, because there's a Dimid Rabbanu, we're afraid you're going to carry the Megillah. So there's no question you're laying the Megillah on Friday, but the Shaila that the post came out is, when do you make the Sudas Purim? So there's a Yerushalmi that that you don't make the Sudas Purim on Shabbos. You have to push the Sudas Purim off until Sunday. So the question is, how can you have the Sudas Purim on Sunday? Isn't that a violation of V'lo Yavor? Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, you can't celebrate Purim past the days of Purim. So that's the Machlokes. So there are some poskim who said that in Ilchos Nabi, the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi, and you have to have the Sudas Purim on Shabbos itself. And others say, no, that we follow the Yerushalmi, that you make the Sudas Purim on Sunday. So that's where the whole notion of a Purim Meshulash came into being. It's because of that discussion between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, that you lay in the Megillah on Friday, that on Shabbos you have to say Al-Nisim, because that's the Maisim and real Purim is, that's when you lay in V'yav HaMalek, and according to some poskim, that's when you make the Suda, but according to other poskim, you have to make the Suda on Sunday. So if you have to make the Suda on Sunday, then you have to give Mishloach Manas on Sunday, and so everything is a Balagan. So that whole Balagan started because of this problem of Elo Yavo, because maybe or maybe not, you're allowed to push Purim past the actual day. So getting back to this story, the Mordechai is bothered with the Kasher. The Mordechai asks, how come we don't celebrate the extra day of Purim? How come we don't say Smeka Diyoma by Purim? So the Mordechai gives you a Psateret, a Dochik Teret, that's Lo Yavor, Gzeres HaKosov. What was the Kash in the first place? What was he bothered with? Purim is also only Midrabanan. And here we can defend ourselves by saying that it's like we defend ourselves by Sukkah, well, it's a Shalab of Jarais is also. There's no Jarais in Purim. The whole thing is Midrabanan. So by Purim, which is a pure Derabanan, the Mordechai still was pushing himself, was forcing, and saying, we should really say Smeka the Yoma, we should really have a second day Purim. It's a quirk, a technicality. You dug up a pasuk in the Megillas Esther that says you can't do it. But lulei that reason, so the din would have indicated that Smeka the Yoma does go l'chumra when it comes even l'gabi Yom Tov and Derabanan. So l'chara, the same is true when it comes to Chanukah. By Chanukah, there's no pasuk. Chanukah is not in Tanakh. So there is no gzeres across of lo yavo by Chanukah. So what's wrong? Why shouldn't we observe the ninth day misafik of Chanukah? So the Chari have arrived from this Mordechai to a problem that in Echanan, the Kash is according to the Mordechai. Why isn't that we don't observe Smeka Diyoma by Chanukah? So the emphasis is that there may still be a difference between Purim and Chanukah. We assume that Purim was the perfect parallel to Chanukah. The answer is that may not necessarily be the case. that there is a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah that talks about Kriyas HaMegillah Misafek. If you're not sure which day, whether you're a Ben Ir, or whether you're a Mukefes Choma or not Mukefes Choma, so the Gemara speaks about laying the Megillah on both days. So the Rishonim have a question, why do you have to lay the Megillah on both days? So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that Safek Kriyas HaMegillah goes L'Chumra. Why is that? Isn't Megillah only Midrabanan? So here, there are many poskim who say that Kriyas HaMegillah is not quite a regular Midrabanan. It's what's called in Halacha Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah has nothing to do with Zayar. Divrei Kabbalah means, it's a halachic term. Divrei Kabbalah means something that appears in Nevi'im Muksuvim. It's not in the Chumash, it's not in the Torah itself, but it's in Nach. So whatever appears in Nach has somewhat of a higher level than a regular plain Din Midrabanan. So there are many poskim who claim that Safek Divrei Kabbalah is L'Chumra. Safek Derais is L'Chumra, Safek Derabanan is L'Kula, and Safek Divrei Kabbalah has the status like a Din Derais, and it goes L'Chumra. So the fact that a Safek in Kriyas HaMegillah is going to be L'Chumra doesn't necessarily indicate that a Safek in Hilchos Chanukah is going to be L'Chumra. Because Hilchos Chanukah is a pure Derabanan, a plain simple Derabanan. So the simple reading of the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah is that Safek Purim is L'Chumra because Purim has a certain aspect of a Deraisa to it because of the principle of Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah. The only thing is that the Ran himself happens not to hold that way. The Ran says, "L'inyin ayaras habesupakos imei mukafas chomim imos Yeshua bedun alo." So horag ha'onim zal shahocha benacha harov ayaras sharuba ein mukafas chomim imos Yeshua v'karim ben miyadalit. So the Ryan quotes from the Gaon that Meikra Mikra Adim, and you have a suffix which day of Purim is, so then you just lay it in your Dalek, because that's the row. Most of these are not Mukavas Koma. The Yod says the Ryan, Shafibu Tomushu Suffix Shokol, Havali Suffix Shal Divrei Mulakula. So says the Ryan that Meikra Adim, you would really apply the principle of Suffix Rabbanan Lakula over here. And now says the Ran, "V'nimta p'turus b'shneiam u'mevapin v'mena b'vader mikra megillah." So if you would really plug in the rule of suffering derabanan l'kula, you would be putter on both, like we said before. "L'fika kar b'rishon u'putter b'sheni." So therefore, the did is you're laying in the first and not in the second. So of course, this Ran seems to contradict what he said before about dalakoso. So that's really a whole different teret. It's a whole another shiur. Closer to Pesach, we'll talk about the steer and Ran. But here the Ran is saying that Kriyas HaMegillah is really a Derabbanan. Really, Safek Derabbanan L'Kula applies to Kriyas HaMegillah. So says the Ran, "Ode Arminim B'Gemara, Atever V'Hutzo She'akorim B'Ahen B'Abosu V'Chamisha Asar, Midas Chasidus Hayu Nogin Kain." So says the Ran, we find that there were cities in Eretz Yisrael that weren't sure whether they're Mukavas Chaymas, or the Gemara says used to lay on both. That was a Chumra B'Yamu, that was a Midas Chasidus, it wasn't Be'ikra Adin. Be'ikra Mikra Adin is that Safek Kriyas HaMegillah is L'Kula. So there is a shaila, how to read this Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says that when you have a Safek Ir Mukavas Chom, you have to lay it on both. So is that Me'ikra Adin? Is that because Kriyas HaMegillah is like a Deraisa, Safek Divrei Kabbalah, Kedivrei Torah Dami? Or is that just a Midas Chasidus B'Yamu, but Kriyas HaMegillah is regular Derabbanan? So that shaila is now going to relate to the relationship, a lack thereof between Chanukah and Purim. So when it comes to Purim, so the Mordechai is working and trying to figure out why Sfeik of Yoma doesn't apply. When it comes to Chanukah, not a word. We don't have any mention whatsoever. So it could be that there's a tremendous chiluk. Purim is a shalav of derais. Purim is a suffix divrei kabbalah. So divrei kabbalah, there would have been a good reason to have a sfeik of Yoma in Purim, if not for the gzeres hakasav of lo yavor. Chanukah was never in the ballpark. Chanukah is not even a shalav. Chanukah is a suffix derabanan. Suffix derabanan goes lakula, and there's no issue whatsoever. Why is it? The Rambam was talking about cities in Eretz Yisrael, so he wasn't addressing the right. He wasn't addressing the Sfeik of Yoma aspect. So we started out with a shaila. What's the din? Is it appropriate to even discuss the shaila about Sfeik of Yoma by Chanukah? Or should we just ignore the shaila immediately by saying, well, it's only Derabbanan. So Derabbanan, the whole issue doesn't get off the ground. So we saw two different Rishonim who do seem to invoke the principle of Sfeik of Yoma even by Derabbanan. We had the Tosfos in Sukkah, where Tosfos discusses Sveik of the Yom as relates to the mitzvah of Lulav, which is only a Derabbanan. And we had the Mordechai in Megillah who talks about Sveik of the Yom as relates to Purim, which is also a Derabbanan. So we show that neither of those rides are necessarily convincing. That the Taiz in Sukkah was talking about the Prat was Derabbanan. The Tilos Lulav in Kol Shiv is on a Derabbanan, but the Yom of the Kedusha of the Yom of Sukkah is a Kedusha Deraisa. So that's a different type of a Safik. That's a Safik that relates to Deraisa than to Derabbanan. So that may be more Chomer than the Safik of Chanukah. And the Mordechai's discussion may also be irrelevant because the Mordechai is talking about Purim, which is, although it's not a pure Deraisa, it may at least have certain aspects of a Deraisa to it. Lamaisa, the Shaila sounds like a very strange Shaila, because we're trying to figure out, should there be Sveik at the Yom Al Chanukah or not? So I think we all know the answer to that question, Lamaisa, and we don't. Bottom line is, nobody lights Neres Chanukah. Nobody does. Even the one kid on the left, nobody lights Neres Chanukah tonight. So isn't it an obvious dead giveaway that the answer is that it's only the Rabbanim? There doesn't seem to be any other reason why there's no Sveik at the Yom Al Chanukah. So isn't it obvious that that's the answer? That the Tosfos in Sukkah is not a Raya, and the Mordechai is not a Raya, the Raya Brewer is from our Minhag, that there's no Sveik HaDiyom. So of course the reason is because it's Lamed Rabbanim. So, yeah, that's what the Mechaz Chinuch says, right? That's what we're going to say, right. So the Mechaz Chinuch has a fascinating Chiddush. The Mechaz Chinuch says that just because everybody in Klal Yisrael knows today that there's no, we don't observe a ninth day of Chanukah Misafek, says the Mechaz Chinuch, he doesn't think that's necessarily a Raya, but the real shah that we're raising. So the Gemara Masechet Beitzah tells us that there are really two different levels of Sveik HaDiyoma. The Sveik HaDiyoma in the old days and the Sveik HaDiyoma Bizman HaZeh. So Sveik HaDiyoma in the olden days was a real Sofek. Taka didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So that's a real bona fide Sofek. So in fact, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Beitzah raises the question, why are we observing Sveik HaDiyoma altogether? Bizman HaZeh. We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. We have Bekiyin and Bekiyin the Yarcha. We have Luach set up, so we've embedded in Bekiyin. So we know exactly what Rosh Chodesh is. So what's the purpose of Sveik HaDiyoma? So the Gemara says, Yizar b'minig avaseichem shemayachzor dovla kukulchem. Whatever that means exactly, either it means that it's a minig, or it's a tekanas hachamim, we're afraid it is going to somehow, we're going to lose track of when Rosh Chodesh is, or it was a tekanas hachamim, which doesn't really matter whether you lose track, whatever the lumdus in that Gemara is. The bottom line is the Gemara concludes that Sveik HaDiyoma applies b'zman hazeh. Afal p'chein, you see, just from the Gemara's kasha, that it's somehow a lower level of Sveik HaDiyoma. It's not quite the same as the real Sveik HaDiyoma in days gone by. So we make believe that it's a Sveik HaDiyoma, but in that heart of hearts, we really know that it's not a real Sofek anymore. So the Mechaz Chinuch says that he thinks that in the olden days, when they were Mekadosh, Tchodesh, Apir, Re'iyah, so Sveik HaDiyoma was a real bona fide Sofek. He says, go prove to me that they didn't keep a ninth day of Chanukah. Go prove. They didn't. So says the Mechaz Chinuch, he thinks that in the olden days, when it was a real bona fide Sofek, they did keep a ninth day of Chanukah. The fact that we don't keep a ninth day of Chanukah b'zman hazeh, so says the Mechaz Chinuch, maybe you can argue that's because the whole Sveik HaDiyoma b'zman hazeh is very watered down. So it could be that chumrah that the Amoraim had in Maseches Beitzah, that chiddush, that hizar b'minig avaseichem, that even though the reason doesn't really apply, we still are required to observe the Sveik HaDiyoma of Yom Tovim. So maybe you can argue that chumrah the Rabbanim was only said on Yom Tovim Derai. So that was only said on the real Makoy, on things which are really, really significant. But Chanukah, which is only the Rabbanim anyway, so even though in days gone by, the Taka did observe the Sveik HaDiyoma of Chanukah, because Man HaZeh, we're not Mechuyev to. Now it's very hard to prove Mechaz Chinuch right or wrong. How are you going to prove this one? So says the Mechaz Chinuch, that not only was this true in years gone by, but says the Mechaz Chinuch, so Chadash HaMenech HaKedem, Meheri Abana Mikdash, so we're going to go back to the old still system of being Mechadash HaBir HaRe'iyah. So again, you have to think Mechaz Chinuch lived in the 1800s, so there were no emails, and there were no phones, and there was no, whatever it was, the level of communication in the early 1800s was probably about as good as it was in the days of the Mechadash HaBir HaRe'iyah. So the Mechaz Chinuch says, Meheri Abana Mikdash, so then we're going to take the Luach and throw it away, we're going to go back to the old system of Mechadash HaBir HaRe'iyah. So he says, he thinks that, you know, even in Los Mashiach, there'll still be a few Jews here and there who are going to be still hanging out in Chutzlaret. So he said, those Jews who are still living in Chutzlaret, even in Los Mashiach, so they're going to have to observe the Din of Sveik HaDiyoma. So says the Mechaz Chinuch, he thinks that when Sveik HaDiyoma will come back to become a real Din like it was in days of old, so then we're going to go back to the Sveik HaDiyoma Chanukah also. So he's not only saying a Chiddush in past history, he's saying a Chiddush in the future. You can't prove him wrong one way. The past, we're not when Masha Haya, but he'll be right in the future. We'll find out. Maybe about a mikdash, so that we'll find out. That's his unbelievable chiddush.
He himself doesn't even talk about
Purim. But he himself, I think, I don't remember. Did he call this Mordechai? I don't remember. If he called this Mordechai.
The question is, in Atid Lavo, with email and with all other mechanical and technicalities, you may not still be able to rely, but on the old system.
Right? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know
what's going to be. Maybe Abana Mikdash will find out. I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. I don't know.
So how do we envision a Sveik HaDiyoma? And similarly, also, which never came up in this entire discussion, the whole question of Sfiras HaOmer, why you don't have a Sfeika D'Yom there.
Right.
Maybe it's a kind of a thing, is that when you're counting, it's impossible to count.
That's the
Dvar Avram.
Oh,
you're mechav. And maybe also in Chanukah, you can't count day one and day two.
It's interesting, The Dvar Avram, you're mechav, says the Dvar Avram that says that Chiddush, that the reason why there's no Sfeika D'Yoma on Sfeiras HaOmer is because you can't count today as either three or four. And that's not a Sfeira. Sfeira means you have to know what day it is. So the Dvar Avram, after he says that Chiddush, he concedes that it's against the Baal HaMor, because the Baal HaMor, Masechet Pesachim, asks the Kasha, how come there's no Sfeika D'Yoma on Sfeira? So the Baal HaMor says that, well, the whole Sfeira B'Zman is there, such a Shvacha Sfeira, it's only a Zeichel HaMikdash anyway, maybe it's only the Rabban anyway, so therefore, we don't have to be so Machmir. But you get the impression from the Baal HaMor that conceptually there really should have been a Sfeika D'Yoma. So see by Neves Chanukah, the Iker mitzvah is very Shabbeso. So the fact that we do Mahadrin, I don't know if that would prevent us from doing the Iker mitzvah al Sfeika D'Yoma. So I call upon him, even though we try to show from the Rishonim that there may have been an inkling, may have been a reason to indicate that there should be Sfeika D'Yoma by Chanukah, the fact that we Lamaisa don't have it, so that may or may not prove that we don't have it in Iker Adin, that may be only Bizman Hazeh. There's just one last Sfeika D'Yoma issue that comes up, which is relevant for next week. And that's the issue of Sfeika D'Yoma and Tainus Tzibur. So, l'chora, the same discussion that we're having in terms of Sfeika D'Yoma and Chanukah and Purim, is the Rabbanans, so we could raise concerning a Sfeika D'Yoma and Tainus Tzibur, that maybe we should have to observe 2 days of Asar B'Teves, 2 days of Tisha B'Av, 2 days of Tzom Gedalia, whatever the Tainus Tzibur are. So here, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Abed Beis, that famous Gemara we spoke about in the past, the Amr of Chana Babizna, Amr of Shirm Chasid, Amay Dechsiv, Koma Hashem, Tzavakos, Tzoma Raviv, Tzoma Chamisha, Tzoma Shriv, Tzoma Siri, Yilabes is Yehuda, Lassosal, and Semchot. These tiny hills are going to be eventually for days of joy. So ask the Gemara, Karlu Tzom, Karlu Sassal, and Simcha. So what are they? Are they Yibet Tzom, or are they days of celebration? So the Gemara says, Bizman, Sheye Shalom, Yulah Sassal, and Simcha, Ein Shalom Tzom. And finally, the Gemara qualifies this a little bit and says, Amar Papa Achi Gamar, Bizman Shiye Shalom, when there's Shalom in the world, Rashi says, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Yulah Sasan HaSimcha, then all the days are days of celebration. Yeshmad, if there are times of persecution, then there you make some. Ein Shmad Vein Shalom, Rotsu Misanin, Rotsu Ein Misanin. So then you have a choice. That's what the Rishonim assume. Bizman Azeh, we're somewhere in the middle, that we really have a right to fast or not to fast. Once Klai Yisrael accepted upon themselves to fast, so they were bound to fast. So the Maisa, we have to fast in these days. But it could be that Bizman Hazeh, they're not absolutely B'taras Chiyav. It's more B'taras and Minag HaTzibur. But sometimes, when you live in a Shas HaShema, then there's real halacha. And when you live at a time of Shalom, when you live in a time of the Beis HaMikdash, then there's a real Din of Simcha. Then you have to dafka celebrate. You're not allowed to fast in those days. There's a Din of Yontif. So the Mechaz Chinuch in that same piece raises the same Shaila. What's going to be the din? We also love Meheri Yabana Mikdash, so we're going to have new Yom Tovim on the calendar. So Gedai is going to be a Yom Tov and Asar B'Teves. We're going to have these four new Yom Tovim. All the Revi, Chamish, Shvi, and Asiri, those are going to be Yom Tovim. Are we going to have to observe those Yom Tovim? Sveik at Yom and those Yom Tovim. You hear the Shaila. This is already after Mamash, be a man in Bamun Shalema. That he's raising a Shaila. What's going to be the din about these Yom Tovim? But we call today the tiniest tibur, the Yom Tovim, we also love, is there going to be a din of Sveik of the Yom and Nemana? So the Mechaz Chinuch says, maybe there won't be. You know why? Because since the Pasuk describes the days as being Tzom HaRavi, Tzom HaMishi, the Navi never spells out the day you have to fast, or the day you have to celebrate, Zman HaMikdash. It speaks about the month. So it could be that the celebration of these days, Le'asa Lavo, or the commemoration of these tiniest, Zman HaZeh, is not keyed in so much in terms of the day, but rather it's the month. I mean, if you pick any day in the month, so strictly speaking, that's also acceptable. So, says the Mechaz Chinuch, Sveik B'Yom HaChanukah, Ken Zayin is going to be Le'asa Lavo. Sveik B'Yom of Asar B'Teves, the Yontif of Asar B'Teves, maybe not. We're not going to require a Sveik B'Yom on that, because it's as long as you fulfill the din of a Yom Simcha, B'Chodesh HaSiri, maybe that's good enough. So, whether the Mechaz Chinuch is right, whether the Mechaz Chinuch is not right, maybe about a Mikdash, hopefully, the Mi'at Hashem will be Zeicher to determine, to be able to see. The way the old joke goes is that, I guess it's more of a Purim Torah, it relates with the end of Shiraim Chanukah. So the old joke goes that, how come you don't observe a Sfeika D'Yoma on Chanukah. So the answer is, that's the 101 teretz the Beis Yosef's kasha. The Beis Yosef asks, why are there 8 days of Chanukah? There should really only be 7 days of Chanukah. So the answer is, no, chinami, that there are really only 7 days of Chanukah. The 8 day of Chanukah is a spake of the yom of the 7th day. So that's not a real teretz, kayadua. But, so be it. Hopefully, Mary Yvonne Mikdash will be zeichah to see what exactly is the din of the Mechas Chanukah.